Welcome, you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday the 23rd of July 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also podomatic.com, but you can go to our website, which is krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z, and plenty of news links going up there every day. Heaps of our podcasts going up as well, so check it out, krazfiles.com, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Okay, Garth, we are plugged in for another week. It's the 23rd of July, as I stated at the start of the podcast, but it's, I don't know where the time's going, Garth. I really do not. It's unbelievable. We're getting into August. I feel you blink, you know, and it's just 5 months passes, but anyway.
It was yesterday, it was Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, we just continue and keep going. And do the best we can do. But our guest today is Judy Byington, and Judy's back with us again. She was on with us last year. And Judy's great site is 22faces.com. And we're going to go over that now in the intro. But I suggest, Garth, that people can go onto our website, krazfiles.com, click into the podcast archives there, and you'll see our first talk with Judy in regards to her book and the incredible story of Jenny Hill and the multiple personalities there. And Judy's one of the only people, Garth, that I know that's doing this type of work so full on. A lot of people don't want to touch this kind of child ritual abuse stuff.
No,
it's hush-hush, especially in Australia, isn't it?
And, it certainly is.
Yeah, I just don't know a lot of people. Kevin Arnett we follow as well, as much as we can, who's going into this ritual kind of satanic black masses and murder of children. And seems to be right through the system, Garth, through the political system as well. And I've, you know, it seems to be the same kind of lineage, if you will, or same crew of people. In a weird way, that's doing this. And it's right with us right now, Garth.
It is, it certainly is.
There's children being abused all over the world.
Yes, I agree.
Along with Jenny Hill, and they don't have a voice. You know, and some of these poor people, I just can't imagine what they've had to go through. And so we have to do the best we can along with Judy. Judy's the master. She's up there doing what she does every day. But we have to kind of tag along here, Garth, and do the best we can to get this information out to people, because it's absolutely incredible. I mean, it's not something you and I, you know, Judy can comprehend. I mean, even in a million lifetimes, Garth, I can't comprehend how you could harm a child, let alone look into these satanic ritual abuses. And the information in Judy's book is horrifying. I don't know how these people ever come back, but they do. And a lot of them live normal lives, and they get back on the horse, and they're so strong the way that they do that. So it's an incredible story about Jenny Hill, and Judy's doing some amazing work, so we want to get Judy on quite a bit to keep catching up and going over the latest news in the world and what's going on with this, because sexual abuse is unfortunately all around us. It's everywhere. It's right through Hollywood. You know, it's really, really, really despicable thing, but anyway, Judy's here with us again for a chat today. So, Judy, welcome back. It's good to have you here with us.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on again.
Very great. You're very, very far away over there in the U.S. in Utah.
In Utah.
Yeah, all the way in Utah. So it's great to have you. But let's start off with your site. Why don't we get that out? And we'll do that at the end as well. 22faces. .com, great site, and also childabuserecovery.com, another site. But how's the site going? How's the book been selling? And catch us up a little bit with how you've been going on your end, and we'll kind of bleed into what's happening now in current world events.
Well, the sites are doing well. Yeah. People seem to be waking up to what's going on. To give some of your listeners some insight, 22 Faces is the name of the book, Inside the Extraordinary Life of Jenny Hill and Her 22 Multiple Personalities. And you can find that on our website, 22faces.com. You can find the first three chapters. You can read it for free. This is the biography of a woman with 22 personalities, and her name is Jenny Hill. She grew up in Garden Grove, California, but lives here in Utah now. I met Jenny about 25 years ago, and we took about 20 years to write her biography, but it's fascinating. The reason why I'd like you to go into the website is just to read those first three chapters, because when Jenny decided to have her biography published, the purpose for her was to expose this ritual abuse that's going on, because she didn't want other children to go through what she went through. And after the book was released, we found out that there were literally thousands and thousands of people like Jenny who had gone through this same ritual abuse, which is really terrifying to realize that it's not only gone on in our past, and I believe since Cain it's gone on, but it's also here in our present, and children are being ritually abused right now. But, you know, you're not born with multiple personalities. That they come about because of abuse situations. Only children seem to develop multiple personalities. To give you an idea of that is that, well, let me give you the other website, too, while we're on it. The other website is childabuserecovery.com. And the purpose of that website is to expose some of the ritual abuse that's going on internationally. And there's a lot of my articles on there. There's also a petition on there that I'd like to invite your readers to go in and sign. It's a petition to have another investigation of the CIA mind control of children. And we can go into that history of that a little bit later. But we're trying to expose all this abuse that's going on, and unfortunately, the CIA has been involved in the torture of children for their mind control program, and there's a lot of survivors around the world who have suffered because of that. And if you go into that petition to sign it, and you go into some of the comments made, go clear back to the first 50 or so comments in that petition, because the petition was actually started by ritual abuse survivors. And in those comments, in the first 50 comments, you'll find a lot of them talking about their abuse, and they're from all over the world. And all they're asking is that Congress take another look at this program that appears to be still going on throughout the world.
That's frightening stuff. Judy, you mentioned Cain. Could you, and you said that's where it sort of all started from. Can you open up a little bit on that, just to describe about what you meant about Cain?
About Cain. I'm not quite understanding what you're asking.
Was it Cain, C-I-I-N? You mentioned since Cain.
That it's been going on, the abuse, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, since Cain. Well, in the back of my book, 22 Faces, I have a history of child sacrifices. There was a first century Jewish historian by the name of Flavius Josephus, and he wrote about the ancient Quintus pagan tribe who wore on their forehead or hand what we refer to the mark of Cain, because they believed that they were the ancestors of Cain, and they were the first known people, according to Flavius Josephus, to practice child sacrifices. We believe that child sacrifices are a part of satanic worship, and that has been handed down throughout the ages. You find it in all different cultures, you know, from the ancient Mayans and the Aztecs. You find them in the Egyptian and the Greek culture and the Roman gods, worship of the Roman gods, and in the Bible, you find them worshiping the gods through sacrificing their own children different parts of the Bible. But we believe that this not only happened in our history, but it's still going on now, and it's handed down through what we call satanic families. One of the reasons I know that is because there was a study. I live here in Utah, and there was a study that was done by Utah is the headquarters of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormons. But there was a study that was done by the LDS Church back in the 1990s on over 100 ritual abuse survivors. And I was able to get the only interview that Elder Glenn Pace, who was over the study, gave on it. What happened is, I better get you some background. Back in 1980, there was a book that came out called Michelle Remembers. And it was a biography, just like Jenny's biography, 22 Faces. It was a biography of Michelle Smith. And she was a woman who had multiple personalities. She lived up in Vancouver, Canada. When she, like with Jenny, her remembrances of her abuse didn't come out until she was, I think, 40 years old, when they first started coming out. And when they started coming out, she went to a psychiatrist by the name of Lawrence Pazder. The two of them wrote Michelle Remembers, and it's her biography, and it talks about her abuse as a child. She was handed over to a satanic coven by her mother when she was 6 years old, and she was ritually abused throughout childhood. When that book came out, it became a bestseller, and it caused what was referred to as a satanic panic, but what was really happening was that there were ritual abuse survivors all across the United States and Canada who were going to their psychiatrists or their counselors and to different investigative authorities and saying that they had been ritually abused just like Michelle had been. And here in Utah, being the headquarters of the church, the LDS Church was getting a lot of these types of referrals to their LDS Family Services Department. And then at the same time, there was a ritually abused baby found up in near Rupert, Idaho. And the baby, it was the body of a baby. It was didn't have, it's had its organs missing, and it was a half-burned body. They didn't ever find out who did that to the baby. But as a result of that baby, they passed the baby X law in Idaho, and that was the first ritual abuse law ever passed in the United States as a result of that baby. Well, President Ezra Taft Benson was president of the LDS Church at the time. President Benson was the Secretary of Agriculture under Dwight D. Eisenhower, but after that, he became president of the LDS Church, and he grew up near where they found this baby. So he was getting reports about this baby, and then he was getting all these reports coming in about ritual abuse. So he ordered a study to be done, and he formed a 12-man committee, and it was headed by Elder Glenn Pace. Well, Elder Pace had his committee members go out and interview all these different survivors. And in the interview I had with him, he said that they interviewed over 100 people. He says, we could have interviewed three times that many had we had the time. In the report, one of the fascinating things about the report is it says 45 members witnessed human sacrifice. Goodness. Well, as a result of that report, the church decided to track down the perpetrators. And they did that by, they have an extensive genealogy program, but they hired a genealogist, and they traced the bloodlines of these survivors, because satanic ritual abuse is known to come down in what we call satanic families. So they tracked down what perpetrators they could, and they excommunicated them from the church, and then they turned over their information mainly to the Utah Attorney General's office, because it being the headquarters of the church, many of the survivors were here in Utah, although there were survivors all over the United States and down in Mexico that participated in the report. At the very same time they did this, the Utah Attorney General was also very concerned about it because of all these different survivors that were reporting to therapists and investigators that they were had been ritually abused. So they had formed their own committee. And they also spent a year going out and interviewing different survivors. And they defined perpetrators. And then they mashed up some of those same perpetrators from the LDS report. And then they began their own investigation through some satanic ritual abuse investigators that they arrested, that they hired. The very first arrest of those satanic ritual abuse investigators was a man whose daughter and niece came to me about the time this was all happening. And at that time, I had retired from, I'm a former supervisor of mental health, and I've been head of family counseling center, and I'd worked in child welfare for many years. But at that very, but I had to retire because of the illness of a child. And these women, they were grown women. They were cousins. One was the daughter of this man that they arrested. The other was the daughter of his brother. And they came to me because they said the investigators are not charging him with these child sacrifices that we have seen. And the two, what happened with those two women is that they had been at various, we found out that they had been at various child sacrifices as they were growing up, plus had been raped by the fathers and the other people in the satanic coven throughout childhood. They had developed multiple personalities, but they hadn't seen each other since childhood, and they accidentally ran into each other at one of the malls here in Utah. And when they saw each other, they realized that they were both having the same memories come back of this ritual abuse. And the reason why these memories were coming back to both of them at this particular time was because the fact that the one man had been arrested. And so to give you a little insight into why that happens is that, like I say, Jenny, when she was born, she wasn't multiple personalities. These women weren't multiple personalities when they were born. But when Jenny was about 4 years old, her father, she said that her father began molesting her. And by the time she was 6 years old, she was being raped by him, plus some satanic neighbors down the street. As a result of that, it developed multiple personalities with her. And why this happens with children is because of the developing brain is what they have realized. You kind of have to think of your mind. You could be multiple if you had gone through the same abuse that these women have gone through. You think of your mind as a tree, and the trunk of that tree is your core personality. And if you are a child, and if you are undergoing repeated trauma, as they did, as you know, it doesn't happen just once. It happens almost on a daily basis, where they have to go through all this trauma that's created by these satanic worshipers. That memory of that trauma is kind of held out on the branch of the tree, but that memory doesn't really connect to the core personality. And that's why I advised your readers to read the first three chapters of the book, because it shows what a child is like as a child and being a multiple personality and what it's like for them, because they are being abused, but they don't have the memory of that abuse. It's held, the memory is held on the branch of that tree, and it isn't connected to the core personality. And it doesn't connect until many years later, when they're away from their perpetrators and away from the trauma that they're going through. And then the mind, you know, gets to a point where it says, hey, I'm going to heal from this. And so it starts to connect these memories. Well, they start to come back in, usually in nightmares that are repeated night after night and become more and more, you know, more and more details come forward, you know, as it comes. And then all of a sudden the full blown memory will come forth. So that's what it was like, you know, for them, in that, that they were, these two women, when they met each other at the mall and hadn't seen each other since childhood, they were starting to have all these memories come back, and they were remembering their fathers taking them to different satanic coven sites and raping them and killing children, and their memories were matching up with each other. And so they came to me and they said, you know, they're not charging this man with anything but molest of one of my sisters, and yet, you know, we know that he has killed children and he's done all these other horrible things, and we want him charged with, you know, more charges. So they asked me to work with them to supply information to the Utah AG ritual abuse investigators. So we spent about a year together, and we would go out to different places where they had claimed to have seen these murders. And as we went out to these places, they would get more and more memories come back. And it was very interesting, because we would go out and then, you know, we'd go back home, and then they would individually call me and say, you know, I started remembering this. And even though they weren't together and didn't discuss the memory, their memories had the same types of facts with them. You know, the age of the child, the, you know, the time of year, you know, who was there and all this, you know, they started to match up. So we got all this information together after this time period, and we took it back up to the Utah AG office. Unfortunately, they didn't take it into court, and there was a lot of reasons for that that they gave us. And this man got off on a quirk of the law. So I was really upset by this, of course, and so I started to take this information to other legal entities. And one of the people that I approached was an FBI agent. The very same day that I took this information to this FBI agent, Jenny Hill had approached this very same agent, and she was trying to find the parents of a child that she saw killed when she was 6 years old on June 21st, 1965 in Garden Grove, California. And so she wanted some help to find these parents. and the FBI agent didn't open the case for either one of us, but he did put us together, and that's how I met Jenny Hill, and that's when we started working on her biography.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? Unbelievable.
And
there must be so much of it, Judy, so much of it out there. Because
it's overwhelming.
It's, you know, it's just all through, you know, like we're reading about England. It's just, it's everywhere. It's frightening. It absolutely, and the authorities are doing nothing.
No.
Yeah. You know, talking about England, I know these new videos just came out the other day, and they're really interesting. It's fantastic that what is it? It was a in Australia, wasn't it? The
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes Australia put out this.
That was on last Sunday night.
Yes,
they were saying really the BBC should have done that, but
yeah,
they did it here. Yeah, they definitely did it. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Sometimes with the mainstream media, Judy, do you think it just seems that it's getting so overwhelming and so bad that it's starting to pour out of all the orifices, you know, of this. Oh. It's like they can't contain it anymore, so they need to start hanging people out to dry or something. You know, it's getting overwhelming, and we just had. I was just up late the other night, Garth, and I saw a quick story, and it was on, I don't know if you saw this, Judy, it was on our Governor-General, George Brandis. He's been branded by victims of sexual abuse because he had a secret meeting in Rome with Cardinal George Pell. And this is crazy because I instantly asked myself, Garth, why is the Attorney General of Australia, George Brandis, having secret meetings with Cardinal George Pell, a known sexual abuser and protector?
Pell was protecting the pedophiles in Australia.
But our government are having secret meetings in Rome with this man, you know, and it's just crazy, you know. And as we saw, it's been exposed on 60 Minutes because it just seems, Judy, it's just getting so overwhelming. But I guess they have to do something.
I'm really proud of these survivors, though, that come forward. I think that's the only way we're really going to prove that this is going on is through these survivor stories.
Get that courage to speak up. And I guess that's what I said at the start. I guess some of them, like Jenny and these people, in your book is just the most horrific abuse, what's been done to these people. And I guess on an individual level, they feel so isolated. And as you said, they retreat into those multiple personalities and they become quite ill and they don't have anyone to talk to. But now, I guess, like with Bill Cosby, Judy, in the United States, I just saw on the news the other night, all these women, they're just coming out of nowhere because the first ones did. And now it's just this avalanche and you can't stop it. And this man is being exposed.
And that went on for like 40 years, didn't it?
It did, yeah. But it's just these women are coming out now. They don't care. They're going to, what's the Bill Shorten in Australia, Garth? The opposition leader in Australia, Bill Shorten, Jenny, he's a Labor leader in Australia. He was being investigated for rape. This was by the Victorian police, I think, Garth. But since he became... You know, he got put into that high level, you know, where he wants to be Prime Minister of Australia. The case was dropped. And looking at this woman's not going away. She's not hiding. She wants this man to be held accountable. But it's all been washed under the carpet, Judy. And this man's the leader of the opposition in Australia that has been accused for rape. And we haven't got any more news on this. They just got rid of it.
Have you heard about this Alicia and Gabriel from there in Christchurch Primary Schools in Hampstead?
No, tell us about that.
Last fall, on September 11th, these two children came forth. I'll just read you a little bit about an article I did on that. It says, to date, over 25 children remained under threat of rape and murder by an alleged satanic cult of local residents, priests, and teachers at Christ Church Primary School in Hampstead, North London. Last September, siblings Elisa and Gabriel claimed that they and their classmates were daily raped, given illegal drugs, and made to participate in the killing of babies. The 8 and 9-year-olds said their perpetrators included their father, Ricky Derman, Christchurch vicar Paul Conrad, local residents plus teachers and priests in at least 5 Christchurch primary schools in Hampstead and Highgate. Papa sees us every day at school where they do sex to us and other children, Elisa said last September in videos by her Russian mother, Ella Draper, that were mysteriously pulled from the internet. Police ordered medical exams. Scars in the siblings' rectum areas verified their claims of sexual abuse from an early age. A few days after their confessions on September 11th, the local borough of Camden Social Services suddenly took Elisa and Gabriel from their protective mother and placed them in foster care, and that's where they still are. The court ordered highly restricted visitation with mom and her family, even though they hadn't done anything but try to protect these children, while their alleged perpetrator father was granted daily access to the children. Elisa and Gabriel said perpetrators had threatened them with death if they told what happened. Not surprisingly, within 2 weeks on September 22nd, the children recanted their stories. Although Barnett police closed the case saying that no crime was committed, close examination of the third police interview with Elisa and Gabriel, and these are interviews that were on the internet that were pulled, might result in a different conclusion. Despite the evidence that included the children's video testimonies with police, Elisa and Gabriel's cases were closed. For the past months, that since last September, police have neglected to open any investigations on their 23 Christchurch classmates. Now, these are children. They're still going to Christchurch, and that Elisa and Gabriel said that they're killing babies there and they're raping these little children, and they haven't even opened up an investigation on these kids. Ella, the mother, retained the cooperation of special investigators, but police refused the help. The mother was threatened in court, charged with not protecting her children, and ended up fleeing the country. And that's just one case. Going on there in England, and there's been a group there in England that are trying to investigate all these different perpetrators that these children have named, and they're tracing it clear on up to the, to the UK Parliament. And I'm sure it'll be on there. This Jimmy Savile case, he was best friends with Prince Charles and hung around the royal family, and Queen Elizabeth has been named by Kevin Annette's group, the survivors in the International Common Law Court of Justice over there have named Queen Elizabeth as being at child sacrifices. I mean, the thing is just huge, and the people are so powerful that you can't even get the stories into the media.
Yes, well, Greg Hallett, Judy, he's written extensively on it, particularly from New Zealand right through to the royals, and all their buddies all down the line who are involved in child pedophilia. And he states very, very clearly that heroin trafficking and child pedophilia run together at
now,
that high level.
Who is this you're talking about?
Greg Hallett, H-A-L-L-E-T-T. He's written a number of books on this because he got involved himself with the court over there, and he started to dig into it, and things went from there. It's taken him well over 30 years to date to gather this information, but a lot of the information has come because he was interested in mind control, and he was in Russia studying it, and he became very good at it. And he was approached definitely by a KGB agent back in New Zealand who told him a lot of information. And that continued, and also for MI5 and MI6 agents were secretly feeding him information, you know, but he wasn't allowed to name them, of course. So Greg Hallett's been collecting this information and feeding it out through his books. And very interesting, and he's very strong on the top dogs in the Royals, including who he calls the Black Prince, which is Prince Philip.
Mm.
So it's very sick stuff.
I hadn't heard about that. I'll have to read up on him.
Oh, yes, it's well worth it because when I first started reading him, Judy, I thought, my goodness, is this possible? But he goes into the ex-Prime Minister of New Zealand. She was a KGB agent. She's now the third highest job in the I think it's the
UN?
The EU.
Or EU, yeah.
Yes, and some of the horrific stories he tells you about these people that are in, and he claims that they're all compromised one way or another because of this child and pedophilia thing and also the drugs. So each one is compromised, and the more you're compromised, he claims, the higher position you get in the government and in these organisations, which aren't government organisations. They're really corporations, but he really spills the beans on a lot of that, and he's well worth reading and listening to.
Yes, I'd like to. There's so many connections. You know, it's just almost overwhelming. It goes through the royalty. It goes through government politicians and prominent businessmen, people that own media, like George Soros has been named. You know, it's just
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lady out here many years ago, Judy, when I first got into this, and I'm talking about 25 odd plus years ago. I can't remember her name. There were no computers then, you know. It was all written down, and she was in Victoria, Australia, and she was trying to help retarded and disadvantaged children. And anyway, she came across a pedophilia ring in Victoria at the highest level. And the last I heard of her, she had to flee for her life. She just went totally out, and I don't know what happened to her, but her organization with the children was infiltrated by these pedophiles, and they came in to offer money to assist in her investigations into the high-level ring in Victoria. She said it went to the highest level.
Yeah, Kevin.
So they infiltrated her, yes, and then her life was threatened. So,
Kevin Adlett has formed a commission, and they're looking into that right now. That I've heard that those names, Victoria, Canada, and Vancouver. Yeah, you've heard about the Vancouver 12 Mile Club.
That was from Kevin Adlett, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking about that, yes.
Yeah, they're looking into that.
Let us talk about it, Judy. Refresh our memory on that.
Well, evidently there's Native children and women who have disappeared up there in northern Canada, and they found out that this 12-mile – they call it the 12-mile club. It's a political, you know, businessman's big club. They have these big yachts. These children and women will be on these yachts. They'll take them out 12 miles outside of the territorial limits for Canada. They'll rape them. They'll kill them. They'll throw them in the ocean, and they come back, you know, without them. And there's literally been hundreds of children and women that have disappeared because of this 12-mile club. They've connected some of those people to some ritual abuse sacrifices that were taking place in Montreal, Canada. Kevin Annette's group did. There was supposedly a child sacrifice was supposed to be held in Montreal, and some of the people with the 12 Mile Club were involved with it, as was George Soros. They found out about, you know, that they were going to sacrifice these children that were being held in Montreal, the university there, and they were able to get a they worked with the Montreal police and went in and found two people preparing for this child sacrifice in this very high-class neighborhood home there. They arrested the two people, and they weren't able to save any children. They could never find the children, but they did, you know, at least stop that child sacrifice that was scheduled. One of those people they arrested wanted protection, and so they flew her over to Brussels, and she spilled the beans on a lot of things. And one was they were able to work with some Interpol police and arrested over 1,000 through an international pedophile ring thing. They had some, I think it was like, I can't remember the numbers, but there was like around 100 children or so that they were preparing to take for child sacrifices, and they were able to, you know, save those children through this information that this woman gave them. That was one of the things that they're investigating, and it's an ongoing investigation with this International Common Law Court of Justice that Kevin Annette has been a part of over in Brussels.
Yes, he's doing some amazing work. He's really incredible.
Yeah, brave man. So.
Well, he was, I remember going back when it was Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth came over to Canada at that place, and they took, I think, 10 or 12 young children, which nobody's ever heard about of them ever since.
That was an, you know, they found Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip guilty of, for the disappearance of these 10 children back in October 10th, 1964. And notice the relationship of the number 10. 1964 adds up to 10-10. October 10th. 10th month, 10th day, they took 10 children from the Kamloops residential, Native residential school in British Columbia, and their parents haven't seen them since. This was way back in 1964. There were two witnesses to that who were going to testify before the International Common Law Court in Brussels. Both witnesses died of mysterious causes prior to their testimony, although they did get their testimonies on video and used them in court. But they were young children at the time and were actually at the picnic where the children disappeared from with Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. And so they found Queen Elizabeth guilty for those disappearances. And yet you can't even get information like that into the newspapers, into the mainstream media.
The Queen of England.
It's frightening. Well, back to Greg Hallett, Judy, just for a second. Greg Hallett has also studied the genealogy of the royals, and he claims that they're all illegitimate and that the Queen wasn't crowned. It was a false type of ceremony, because there's certain things that have to be done in these types of crowning ceremonies, and it wasn't completed because they knew that she was illegitimate. So there's some interesting stuff that he's trying to get out.
Phony.
He's certainly gaining momentum, and a lot of people, because a lot of people just, you know, when you tell them this, that their queen is they just blank out.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be true.
There's a strong connection between royalty and these and the Vatican and child sacrifices and what's going on. You talk to these survivors. I think they've interviewed, let's see, how many victims there's been maybe I'll tell your listeners about this International Common Law Court of Justice. Kevin Annette was a pastor up in Canada who was assigned to a reservation up there, and he noticed that there weren't any natives coming, you know, to church. There were just white people, just maybe 10 or 12 white people that would come to the church. So he became quite friends with the native people and started helping them and providing them food and and other things, and found out from them that the reason why they didn't go to church is because way back in the 1800s, the Canadian government had determined that their children should go to residential schools, and so they started picking up their children from their homes and making them go to residential schools. There's 44 of them across Canada. These children weren't necessarily taught in the schools. The survivors of those schools said that they just went through all kinds of torture and rape and all kinds of things. Very little, you know, school teaching was done in the schools. But there were over 30,000 children who disappeared. Parents never saw their children after they, you know, made them. They literally, the Royal Mounted Police would come out and pick up the children with guns and everything and make them, you know, go to school as young as 5 years old. They'd have to go to these residential schools. Well, when Kevin and Annette found out, you know, that there were over 30,000 children missing, he started to look into it. And as a result of him looking into it, he actually got fired as from his position in the church. But he kept up, you know, trying to find out what was going on. And when he tried to get these cases of these missing children into the Canadian courts, and they wouldn't even accept them to litigate. So he eventually was able to, he went through a legal firm in New York and the UN and different sources, and he formed this International Common Law Court of Justice over in Brussels 3 years ago. And they have five judges and 58 citizen jurors who have heard two different cases so far, and then they've got an ongoing investigation for their next case going on. But out of that, there have been 38 survivors have testified so far of all this child torture and everything that's going on in the world. There's children who have gone through kidnaps, CIA mind control, Canadian Native residential school survivors. Plus, some were actually born into a satanic network that's referred to as the Ninth Circle Child Sacrifice Cult. This cult, from the survivors who have testified, there's 38 survivors who have testified in court, but they have done depositions on over 2,000 survivors who testify, you know, that all this child rape and kidnapping and child sacrifices is going on. The perpetrators that these survivors are naming are world leaders. It's just, it's horrible. They, the children say that as they were repeatedly raped, they've been prostituted, they've been sex trafficked, they've been electroshocked, they've been given overdoses of illegal drugs, they've been beaten, they've been starved, they've been infected with life-threatening diseases, they've been forced to participate in human hunting parties where they get a group of children, they rape them, they send them off in the woods, and then they go after them with guns and horses and shoot them down.
That was mainstream news that came out in. I read that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fiona Barnett over there in Australia talks about that in some of her articles that you've read over there about human hunting parties. She was involved in one when she was 6 years old for her birthday, if you can imagine.
And what was her name again, Judy?
Fiona Barnett.
Yes.
She's an Australian survivor. She's written, there's been a couple of articles that's been written about her over there in the Australian paper, and then I've got some links to my articles on her. But she's one of these survivors that's coming forth and, you know, and telling her story and trying to get this information out. She was the one that, whose handler was, my mind is slipping.
Oh, so was mine, I tell you.
The, The movie star from Australia. What's her name?
Her father's. It was. What's her name, Adam? You know, the movie star. She married the American.
San Antonio Kidman?
Kidman, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The father. Kidman's
father. You know, he was a psychologist there at the university for like 30 years.
Anthony Kidman,
uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Fiona Barnett named him as her handler, as you know, done all this satanic stuff to her. And a few days later, he quits his job and goes over to the Philippines, supposedly to visit his daughter. And then all of a sudden, he dies of a heart attack. Yes. That was right after Fiona released all of her information to that commission, that child abuse commission you have going on over there. But she was involved in a human hunting party, and human hunting parties are been talked about by survivors up in the Netherlands that are run by the royalty up there, the Netherlands royalty up there, run them on their estates up there. And that's another place that this George Soros has been named as been involved in these human hunting parties. They actually get children from these from youth detention centers. And I can't pronounce her name, but she's the ex-wife of a mafia boss. This Ningetta Mafia is what the Vatican uses to it's an international kidnapping ring Ningetta runs. And Ningetta has been named by this mafia wife, who's also a survivor, who has testified before the court. But she says that Ningetta pays to get these kids out of these detention centers, and they use them for human hunting parties. And they're all connected in with the, of course, the European royalty are all connected with each other on what they're doing there.
Got the Eastern European children as well, because I read something about that, Judy, yeah. A survivor said that they were taken out of detention centers and moved everywhere and taken over to England there where the royals are because they've dug up some bodies on the royal grounds all the time. I mean, I was reading with Jimmy Savile's last police interview that parts of that were rubbed out on orders from Buckingham Palace. So, you know, I mean, they're just doing it in broad daylight, but nothing's been said. You know, it just doesn't sort of go anywhere, and you're like, this is absolutely incredible. I mean, how horrific, Judy, to be taken out and raped and then released into the woods and hunted, you know? I mean, they show us it in the movies, I guess, all the time. But
well, it's frightening stuff because there was a guy, I can't think of his name, I have his book here somewhere, he wrote about the Masons in England, the Masons particularly in the police force. And this sort of comes up because at high level, these people stop any decent policeman doing any investigation of this, it appears. So it comes from the highest level. So it just rocks right through the whole system.
I sent Judy the transcript or just one, so get a starter on Greg Hallettgarth. The last interview with Jim Fetzer I saw with Hallett, he seems to be on the move a lot, you know, in undisclosed locations throughout Europe. He moves around.
Well, he's had many death threats.
Yeah,
yes.
They said that he was dead, but he isn't. But looking at the sex collectors in New Zealand, a blackmailer's guide, mafia blackmailer, and the New Zealand government, he's saying what we've always talked about, Garth. That he says one of the things I found out in the last 10 years of studying governments and listening to intelligence and counterintelligence is that those in government are sexually compromised and their sexual secrets are collected. And then they are promoted into governments. So this is what Helen Clark did as well, Garth. And
that's
Greg's
right.
book
yes.
was nominated for Book of the Year. But then it was removed and just rubbed out. So, you know, no one knew about it. But this was all exposing New Zealand. But he was saying the person who collected the sexual secrets on New Zealand is Prime Minister Helen Clark, who you talked about, Garth.
Yes.
So this
that's
was sold, you said, to Russian intelligence. As well, so they've got this all these politicians and prime ministers or whatever, Judy, as you've said as well, they're all compromised through their sexual practices with children, and it's all sold over. So, you know, I guess that's what the CIA do. They get out there, we've heard they get out their smut files when they want to go and attack another country. And if the politicians or leaders in those countries don't want to, they'll get out those files on them, you know. So they're all compromised. They have to do what they're told. Otherwise, they're going to expose them and hang them out to dry, I guess, you know. Unbelievable that the system is so rotten in that way. You know?
Yes, yes, certainly just, is.
You can't
My
seem to get to the end of it. But, Judy, with this, the Catholic, I'll just say this, if people go to childsabuserecovery.com, it's a big site and you can go into the archives there and also and have a look at tons and tons of stories, all documented here and all the dates going back and just looking at the Catholic Ninth Circle Satanic Child Sacrifice cult. Seems to be like a mafia. And all these children going missing. Is this true as well, Judy, that inside the Vatican they have these Ninth Circle rituals with each pope? Because we've heard that there's actual witnesses who witnessed Pope Benedict and these other popes killing young children as well. Is this a ritual sacrifice that the popes must go through inside the church? Do they sacrifice the babies?
Well, part of the evidence that was presented before the International Court in Brussels was a couple of documents that were obtained from secret Vatican archives. And one is called the Magisterial Privilege. And in that document, it states that before a pope is crowned or whatever they do, he has to go through a satanic child sacrifice ritual. Now, when I was talking to Kevin Annette the other day, I was doing some investigation for some more articles. I was asking him about the present Pope Francis, because I had read and heard in some of the videos on his site, which is the ITCCS site, International Tribunal into Crimes in Church of State, ITCCS, yeah. They have a wonderful site there where there's a lot of information. But in that site, I had read where some survivors had been at child sacrifices where before Pope Francis became Pope Francis, he was president of some of these child sacrifices. And I asked Kevin, you know, how many survivors had testified to that? And he told me there were 10 different survivors who had testified of that. Now, one was this Marie Van, and I can't pronounce her last name, is B-L-I-J-E-N-B-U-R-G-H. She's the former mafia wife. She was also a ritual abuse survivor. She testified that she was at a child sacrifice with Pope Francis. And this Toast Ninjas, who's the Dutch therapist who's on some of those videos, she also testifies of the same thing. And then there were 8 others that testified of that. And then there's other testimonies on the internet about being beneath the Vatican. Yeah, and I guess there's in the catacombs beneath the Vatican, there's a special place where they do these child sacrifices. And there's survivors on the internet that talk about, you know, being there and watching children killed beneath the Vatican. Then there's also some survivors that testified when they put in this new Canadian cardinal, and I can't remember his name, but that was just last a year ago, February, they put him in, and there were 2 children that were killed during his inauguration. One was a little boy and one was a little girl, according to survivors. One was like 11 o'clock at night, another one was 1 o'clock in the morning or something. There were 2 separate ceremonies that they held there. They were all overseen by the Vatican's Jesuit superior. So it appears to me, according to survivors, that this is a common thing at the Vatican. They work very closely with this... I can't say it right. Ngrangheta, N-N-D-R-A-N-G-H-E-T-A. It's the name of the It's also called Octopus. It's the mafia arm there in Italy that works with kidnapping children. And that's another thing I wanted to mention was that these children come from they're very vulnerable children. They come from third world countries, especially from the Philippines, North Africa, Guatemala, Portugal. And I'd like to read a quote here from Kevin Annette. He says, "There is a pipeline to provide children of some kind going from Portugal to Holland. We know that. It comes from North Africa or anywhere children can be gotten rid of, such as in war-torn areas like Guatemala." And it's a very organized. There's a lot of money involved, a huge amount of money. I know this. I've been following this satanic cult here in Utah for 20 years or so, and talking to survivors from them, and there's just a huge amount of money involved. They'll actually pay to go to these satanic rituals, Satanists will. And then, of course, the pornography, and they'll take films of the child sacrifices, and they're, you know, snuff films, and then they'll pay to go watch a snuff film. They'll pay, I've heard, up to $20,000 they'll pay to go see a snuff film. You know, so there's a huge amount of money involved in the whole thing. Once you're addicted to child rape and murder and watching snuff films, you know, you'll do anything to be able to feed your addiction, and money's a big part of it.
Yes, well, some years ago, Judy, I was reading a report where in Australia, we're one of the biggest importers of snuff movies. Now, that's in Australia. It's frightening. It really is frightening. These people, we've got so many of them in this country, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was the two gay guys, Garth, that got caught. They went and got adopted a young boy from Russia.
That's right.
And
yes.
raped him and filmed it. And I guess they sell it. So it's constantly happening here, Judy, as you know. Yeah, they're getting caught. Is there, I guess, Judy, there's a heavy amount of funding going into all this as well. We know about the CIA, of course, but also the American military black budget. I mean, you're talking trillions of dollars that these people just sit up there and testify and say, "I don't know where it went," and then that's the end of that story. I mean, but you're getting billions and trillions of dollars disappearing into these black holes. For these types of projects, so I'd say these people, as you said, are very extremely well funded. And I've said before, just a few weeks ago on this show, I've just noticed, Judy, a lot of kidnappings. There's some just general crazies out there grabbing kids and trying to molest them, but there's also what seems to be kidnapping rings organized going around. Some kids have been taken and the parents have noted that they felt like they were being watched, and they're coming in vans and waiting to see what times they play or whatever, and they're taking certain looking kids, maybe blonde kids, green, blue eyes, whatever, and they're never seen again. But we've heard in Australia, Garth, as well, with Victoria, we've mentioned that they set up special police units to investigate this, and then we found out they were involved in it. So it goes right to the top here, to that top of our government as well, Judy, as you know, as many countries do. So it's just so hard to know what's going on. But as you said, yeah, if this is a worldwide sort of kidnapping ring as well, where all the kids are being taken, and it seems to be heavily funded, so that money's coming from somewhere, isn't it?
It is, and that's why I appreciate people like you who's willing to expose this. You know, as long as people stay in denial that it's going on, it's going to continue. We've got to get out of our denial and do what we can to try and save these children.
Yeah, that's why I was interested in when you mentioned Kane, Judy, because Eustace Mullins was into this quite a bit, and he wrote that book, Curse of Canaan. And he goes back, and I myself was trying to find more information. He went through it, but I would like to get back to the nitty-gritty of where it all started, because it ties up with some other information about the Adam and I are interested in these archons that that they claim have taken over the minds of the human species. And there's got to be a reason. There has to be a reason why people are like this. I mean, normal human people, you know, good human beings, to witness what you've just spoken about is frightening stuff.
It's satanic, Garth.
I'm interested. Where did it come from and why? I mean, is it just the devil or is it the archons or what is it? There's got to be some strong influence.
It seems as well, like as Judy's explaining, it seems to go right through history as well, Judy, like way back in time, right to this moment today.
Yes.
And it seems to be the same. Well, I guess a lot more people are involved in it today as they get compromised, Judy, but at the top level, through, as we said, the CIA and the churches, it seems to be the same mindset that's controlling all this right throughout history, the same crew. So it's that's frightening in itself.
Can I read to you a little bit about from the back of my book where it's called The Unholy Roots of Mind Control?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. And, yes.
Cain offered God a sacrifice of the fields instead of blood, and when rejected, introduced the murder on earth by performing the blood sacrifice of his brother Abel. Some called Cain the master Mahan. The Hebrew word for maha meant to destroy, or with the N added, meant mind destroyer. The word was possibly related to an Arabic word counterpart, meaning keeper of a great secret. It is speculated that Cain coveted with Satan to enforce an oath of secrecy on how to gain power over souls through the torture and murder of God's children. Now, you see, what Satanists believe is that Cain was fathered by Satan, not Adam. That's just one of the beliefs of Satan.
Yes.
Satanists, that Cain was the child of Satan rather than Adam. Eve was considered the mother of all living, associated with the birth of humanity, and became synonymous with the goddess of fertility or Mother Nature. Allegedly, her worship involved, now I'm talking about satanic worship, allegedly her worship involved obtaining power from fundamental elements of the matter on earth, like earth, water, wind, fire, and water. Traditional reverence to the fertility goddess engaged. I'm not talking about Christian worship. I'm talking about satanic worship. Allegedly, her worship involved traditional reverence to the fertility goddess engaged devotees in orgies with their children, after which they honored Satan through sacrificing a chosen one. The more innocent their victims, the more power was said to be felt during the ceremony. You talk about the kidnapping of blue-eyed blondes. You know, the more innocent the victim appears, the more power they seem to feel in the ceremony.
Power, well, complete domination.
Followers of this master Mahan, twofold worship enveloped complex codes of hidden knowledge that invited malicious spirits into their rites. See, they believe that if they can get these evil spirits to come into their, you know, little satanic rituals, that they feel more power. From what we know about formation of multiple personalities, severe and continuous ritualized abuse during their youth would have naturally altered participants' thinking patterns so that they could perform unthinkable deeds. That is, it's my belief that a lot of these perpetrators are multiple personalities themselves, because they have come down in traditional satanic families. They were probably abused as children, and then they decided to stay in the satanic worship rather than be survivors. These loyal followers who placed youngsters on a soul journey to the afterlife were promised power, honor, and healing abilities. A two-part dedication was apparent in ancient Greece. To secure a place in heaven, followers of the Orphic mystery wore white robes, abstained from eating meat, and lived a severe ascetic celibate life. As with modern worshippers of this esoteric religion, a few Orphic mystery followers were thought to be into quietly practicing the Dionysian mystery of their Greek god Zeus. Now, Zeus originated from Baal worship, and Baal worship is found in the Bible where they sacrifice children. Through nightly orgies, intoxication, and use of hallucinogens prior to a human sacrifice. Their chosen one could be a young animal, though often the preference was a worshipper's offspring, such as a virgin girl or firstborn son. As with Jenny's experience, some specified use of a blue-eyed blonde, a kidnapped youngster, captive of battle, or baby of a cult participant bred for the purpose, such as an aborted but live newborn. And that gets you into these clinics, these abortion clinics. I have heard from survivors that Satanists have actually paid these abortion clinics to take live fetuses to use in their ceremonies.
Oh, that's happening. Yeah, that's happening now, isn't it?
Yes.
With the yeah, geez, that's interesting. You mentioned that.
Yeah, that's dear old me. Those two women that were selling
Planned Parenthood. That's Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and they're saying that they get more if the specimens are whole. The fetal specimens are whole.
Yeah. Well, that one disgusting woman was stuffing food and wine down her gullet while she was talking about crushing babies with the calipers.
So this, yeah, this
it's frightening stuff. It
this
really
satanic
is.
Mindset is just embedded now in the culture, and it's being normalized, and it's staggering. You know, it's unbelievable. They're normalizing this now, Judy. You know, that it's just okay to rape children. Why not?
Well, they're trying to get laws passed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the gay people are doing it. They're able to get married now, so why aren't the perverts allowed to rape kids? So it's staggering stuff. And you're seeing this of Planned Parenthood as well. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, Judy, I guess we better let you go, but there's so much to go over here. It's just too much to go over. I'd love to we'll have to do this again because I wanted to go into the sort of Manchurian candidate as well, this shattering of the mind and this whole mind control programs that you talk about, because we're getting a lot of shootings and a lot of weird stuff as well where these young kids seem to just go and pick up a gun and kill people. We don't really know what's going on there. It's very murky, but I wonder as well, like, with the amount of people that are being taken from birth, and having their minds just split in half and having these different personalities and are they creating an army of Manchurian candidates all over the world that they can just control at will? You know, that's the kind of frightening thing to think about as well.
Well, I think they're trying to, but you really have to give it to the survivors. Even survivors who were...
They can come out of it.
A part of it are still trying... They still try to access them through electronic trauma, and that's a whole other subject that we could get into.
Like I know with the Navy Yard shooter in the U.S., he was saying he was being mind stalked by kind of microwave weapons. This implies something very new, because we know, Judy, that you know they're at least 50 or more years ahead in technology. You know, especially in regards to the military. You know, they have technology that you know. We wouldn't even know anything about. So that's really amazing as well to think that people are being stalked with these frequencies as well, you know?
A person you might want to consider being on your program is this David Schroeder. Are you acquainted with him?
No.
David Schroeder wrote the book Rabbit Hole. He is a MK Ultra survivor who was part of the Franklin. He acquainted with the Franklin affair here in the United States and the Boys Town and Catholic priest abuse and all that. Anyway, he tried to electronically mind control him. He's a very articulate person, and he would be a good one to interview on your show.
Is it Schuger?
Schurter. I could send you his information.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good, Jenny. Yeah, it's...
He wrote Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yes, we, That's been great, Judy. That really is, you know, and I just hope people out there listening, you know, can start to open their minds a bit, because something's got to be done about this, you know, worldwide. Yes. People have got to get together and stop this.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, Garth? And looking at Judy's book as well before, you know, with these rituals and the mass agony, excruciating kind of pain they inflict on the victims as well. I think in your book, Judy, you were talking, I don't know if I'm right, they use like metal objects in them as well, in the girls inside them, and twist them, Garth, and burn them and all this stuff, and inflict this agony. I guess it gets the adrenal glands going. They want as much pain as they can get as well in these rituals when they murder these kids, which implies that, you know, this is control and domination over the children to make these people feel powerful. But it seems like those killers, Judy, are feeding something else as well, you know what I mean? They're sort of almost like antennas for the devil, if you will, that's feeding through them. It's like that's what I see is happening. It's really crazy that... it's not just the, you know, killing and these children in these sacrifices, but Garth, the inflicting of agony and pain on them as well. We've talked about that, you know, which is just staggering. So people need to get into 22 Faces and read that and have a look. It's not easy to go through that stuff, Judy, that's for sure. But, you know,
it's not easy, but I would like to emphasize that the book is really not all about...
It isn't, no.
It's really a book about the survival of the human spirit. Jenny was a very, very spiritual person, and she used her faith.
She encompasses that, doesn't she? Yeah.
In prayer throughout the book, and it's really quite an inspirational book to see how this little child that is going through so much severe abuse really overcomes her environment. It's really quite an inspirational book once you take a look at it.
How much was it? How long was the book from start to finish, Judy? Like, actually, say, for example, when you first started 22 Faces with her, because I've heard you say it was such a tremendous sort of relief for her as well, Jenny, because, you know, she found a way through you to sort of get that information out, whereas she's sort of too shy and doesn't want to do it herself. You were able to do it for her through the book. So how long would you say that's taken you to sort of do that book and that work? What are we looking at there?
Well, it took Jenny and I 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
But we did it from her journals. When she was a young child, she was really confused as to why she had so much lost time. You know, when her alters would take over, she'd lose time. And she prayed about it. She's a very religious little girl. And during one of her prayers, she was told that she needed to write down her experience, because someday a book would be written about her. And so she began journaling. And as she journaled, her alters always want to get this pressure out of the system.
Yeah.
And they do that through by taking over sometimes. They always want to talk about, you know, how they were formed and what happened to them. But as she would write, the alters would take over, and they would begin to write in her journals also. And so she had all these wonderful alter writings that we were able to take the book from. And then when she went to the Utah State Hospital, part of her healing there, she was at the Utah State Hospital for a year. She went to apply as a nurse and changed personalities and got put inpatient. And during her healing process there, they had her journal. And so we have all these writings of her alter personalities from that also. So we were able to make the book very, very specific, because when an alter talks about a memory, it's as if it happened yesterday. You know, when an alter comes out, they don't know generally what's happened in between the time that they were last out, you know. So their memories of the abuse was very, very specific. And so we were able to write the book from the pinpoint, from the interest point of the child herself and her feelings and the feelings of her alters as they went through these experiences. And that's one, and some of these alter writings are in the middle of the book. You can see them. And they're very interesting. You know, there's different writings. into which altar is, you know, and they'll sign their own name. The altar will sign their name. And they're interesting to look at, too.
Yes, very. Yes.
Amazing. So it's 22 faces, Garth, inside the extraordinary life of Jenny Hill and her 22 multiple personalities. Wow.
And it's on ebook too. You can get it from Kindle.
Is it on Kindle, Judy, this book?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble.
As a hard book, as an actual book, but is it available for Kindle users?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I've got the Kindle version.
Oh, okay, because I've just got the PDF and it was a bit hard on my eyes because I've got a Kindle now, so that's better, much better. So.
Well, you can send the PDF to Kindle.
And get it, yeah. I'd rather just purchase it, though, to help Judy out there, but that's good that it's on Kindle, that folks can get it there as well.
Yeah, you can get it through our website, 22 Faces. You can get it through Amazon on Kindle, and you can get it through Barnes & Noble on Amazon, on the Internet, too.
Yeah, well.
And also from Tate Publishing. You can get it on Kindle from Tate Publishing, too.
I'll put those links up. 20 years, Garth, to do this book, so, you know, yeah. Well worth people going and paying, you know, it's such a well-valued book to go and have a look at. So, again, it's 22faces.com, and also another great site is childabuserecovery.com, Judy, which you contribute to there. That's a great site. They're still going strong. So you seem, Judy, like you're still going very, very strong with this in your investigations and stuff. So it's obviously a continuing process. I wish it wasn't, but it is. But I guess it's really not good to say that, but it is ongoing. And I guess we have to keep moving forward and keep talking and exposing it and just do what we can do to get involved with you guys and Kevin Arnett and help out, you know? It's very important.
Yes, I really appreciate it. I think one of the exciting things for me is to see different survivors come out.
Keep coming,
And tell their stories, because this is where we're really going to prove that this is going on is through the survivors.
It adds so much weight, doesn't it? Each person that comes out, and it makes them feel good as well, Judy, I guess, as well. They feel better for joining you guys and joining other people who have gone through this and getting it out of their system.
Well, that's what all happened when all this stuff in the UK started coming out, is it was the survivors of Jimmy Savile that came out and finally exposed what was going on, and that's what broke that story. And people like Fiona Barnett down in Australia, you know, These are people that are really, you know, getting it out to the public and letting it know that it's going on.
Yes, it is frightening because, you know, it was David Icke wrote about Edward Heath ages ago and people were poo-pooing him. Well, it turned out that David was absolutely correct because, you know, tied up with Savile. You know, there's been a lot people have tried, but you're doing a phenomenal job because you got into it. Right into it, and particularly and that book, it's a, you know, recommend everybody should read it because it'll give you an idea of what these unfortunate children went through. It really is frightening.
And the human spirit, Garth.
The human spirit,
the human
yes.
will to keep surviving and get through that is, you know, that a human being can come out the other end like she did after that. It shows you how strong we really are, you know, and that they can't really break us. They're trying to break us down, Garth. Trying to shatter the human mind and spirit. But, you know, the more people that come out and the more information we get out, we can expose them, Judy. We can expose this criminal mafia, ninth circle, rapists and murderers. And everyone can see this is not just a figment of our imagination, that it's going on, you know. And you have to grow up and see that this is going on and wake up and do something about it and speak up and expose them. That's what they don't want, Garth. Yeah, us yelling from the rooftops and pointing at them, you know, exposing them. They don't want exposure. They hide and they're weak and they're gutless, Judy, aren't they? And they're spineless and they're cowards and they hide in the dark and they get away with it for decades and decades. But it's all going to come out. It has to. Goodness will prevail.
We have to save the children, and that's got to be our main focus.
Absolutely.
I wonder if Kevin would come on.
Oh, he would love to come on.
Maybe let him know. I've tried to contact him, but maybe I did it wrong, Judy. So maybe if you can let him know and...
I will. I'll have him...
Yeah.
I'll have him contact you.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got my email.
Just direct and definitely would love to speak to him anytime he's free. He just had to let me know and we can get the latest news from him.
Okay, yes. I will tell him.
That'll be excellent.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy. Just stay there for a sec.
Thank you.
And, Garth, we will be back again next week as per usual. So I will tell all our listeners to get this podcast out to everyone they know and start having a discussion about this and also go on to those sites. And I'll put the links up there and get that book. Well worth your time. So thanks very much.
Great.
Thank you for having me.